Hey guys, this is Andy McGrath here. You're listening to the Lunchtime Podcast.
Welcome back to the Lunchtime Podcast. Podcast is two blokes who have known each other forever who catch up most days in the Melbourne CBD for lunch to talk everything Essendon Footy Club. My name is Grant and with me is Scott.
Hello everyone. Yes, we did try and get Andy to do Lunchtime Catch Up Podcast, but Lunchtime Podcast will do.
Absolutely.
Close enough. Thanks to Andy for all the support.
VC, we love him.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, good to be back, everyone. We wanted to do just a discussion. We haven't really talked about on the main show about the two, preseason major clashes. So,
yep.
And what that means maybe leading into Hawthorn. So we thought we'd do a show and just have a discussion. And, yeah, it's going to be an interesting discussion because two interesting games to do analysis on.
Two losses,
yes.
Ultimately.
As they always say, you don't always go too hard on losses in a preseason practice match.
Yeah, I understand.
The first one, I think we all can agree it was not good.
It was not good. And that's the thing. Like, you know, they say that you don't go too hard on losses in preseason games. But you do when they kind of look like that, because if that was match simulation, then we're not simulating stuff right. Okay? Seriously.
Well, yeah, it certainly wasn't stimulation.
No.
It's funny. I was thinking today about the two games and I kind of feel like we played four quarters of okay footy or decent footy and four quarters of really, really poor footy.
Yeah.
So it's a hard one to analyze. So I thought in the first quarter with the Saints, it was reasonably competitive. Thought for the first 6-7 minutes of the second quarter of the Saints were actually on top. But then everything went south. And it was just a really poor showing. And for those who say, oh, stop being so negative, that was the words of Gia as well. No, because they talked about after the Geelong match, he said, well, the Saints game was a really poor showing. So that's just – everyone knows it. And
it's just worrying for me, mate. It's just worrying. I know it's a pracky and I know all of those things, man, but – when the coach comes out and says it's a poor showing for the first actual game of real half-competitive football and you turn up and do that.
Yeah, so it was – look, it obviously, you know, I'm one who checks on social media. It wasn't received well by fans, game.
The game, okay.
That's that first game. So I don't want to go – I generally don't want to harper on it too much because I think – The Geelong game probably had a bit more realistic of where we're probably at. That's just my view. The Essendon Saints game is not a JLT game. It's two teams getting together. I thought, you know, if you want to practice what you've been doing over the preseason, it was a poor showing and very little of what we wanted to see was there to see. So, yeah. But then. I guess I'm going to go straight on to the Cats game. And look, no doubt for the first, I'll say, 2.5 quarters, it was a pleasant surprise to me in a weird way because it was really competitive.
Yeah, I agree.
Outside of Guelphy's, maybe Guelphy's goal kicking may need to have a
don't
discussion.
Don't even know what to say. Genuinely, I don't even know what to say. I understand dudes that are on acute angles nowadays will check side the ball, right? It's a thing. But man was on 45 degrees, 25 meters out. I am way too fat to be able to say this, but I could have kicked that.
Yeah.
Genuinely, I could have kicked that football through those goals 8 times out of 10, and he does something like that.
Very
stupid.
very strange because, like, I know some players like, you know, kick from the right hand, like kick around the corner from the right side. It's a bit easier to control the football, but the kind of the check side banana-y kick, that has such an element of risk on the ball dropping wrong on your foot. And you're like, it has so much more higher degree of success just doing a simple drop. But I just didn't, like, it was the most confusing. I would love to be on the fly on the wall at half time or quarter time or what, you know, hey, Guelph, let's not do that, mate.
But I hope it's slightly more than that because it's a bit of a manifestation of what has worried me as a result of the two practice matches. Now, if we were the Brisbane Lions or Collingwood and we'd just come out of a grand final and or winning one, right, and you won a GF or you've performed incredibly well and you got to the second round of the finals or you got to the GF or something like that, then you've earned the right to not go particularly hard in the pre-seasons, right? Because you've earned the right to go, no, we'll wait for the real stuff. But when you haven't won a final in 20 years, right? You've not won a final in 20 years and you're trying to get back up to where you need to be and you're trying to change culture within the team and you're trying to embed a new way of working. And Matt Guelfi does that. Now, if it was Zach Merritt or Darcy Parrish, I wouldn't know what to say. But even it just,
wouldn't be. That's the point.
No, it would, but that's a really good point. It wouldn't be. So why? I'm not sure why he thought it was okay to do. Like it's a circus shot, and it worries me that the mindset of certain players are just that. Instead of just going, no, I have a job to do 25 metres out on a 46.5% angle, I need to drill this goal, right? Because we need to win the game. We're trying to – it wasn't even around the corner. Like you said, it was a check side. I don't get it.
It felt – I'm going to give the rest of the team a bit of a chop out here because it felt different to what I was seeing in the mindset to most of – you felt like 85% of the rest of the team – you know, who are really chasing hard, pressuring hard. Mm. So it kind of felt out of place in some ways, but it was just
bonehead play. Yeah, real.
For, you know, those spots are up for grabs, those small forward spots. So it's like just you need to do things right. And so, look, but the positive was, yeah, across the ground, having right back in, really back in, we'll talk about that later, but for those first half especially, having that structure set to how we would set for round one for the most part, and how I've seen training, so how I've seen the structure set up, having that all kind of be available, and then seeing the right guys in the right spots all of a sudden with a proper round one feel, them taking it a heck of a lot more serious than the Saints game. And be up, you know, pretty much most of the game to three-quarter time in Geelong, which is and Geelong Field named a good team. Mm. So it was, I was halfway through the third quarter, I was absolutely wrapped.
Pressure, good chasing, good effort from the boy, like a lot of good effort.
Yeah.
And a lot of it came from the positioning, like you said, defensive positioning. There was no running through the middle. There was no sort of easy overlaps or the back line being under pressure constantly with ball being peppered in there. It was really good structured football. And for mine, I looked at those 2.5 quarters the same as you and went, okay, so that's what we're going to be doing this year. You can see what they're trying to do, mm-hmm. and it was repeated. It was over and over and over for those 2.5 quarters. And I went, okay, now you can identify a brand. You can identify what Essendon is going to be and what they're trying to achieve. That's why the difference between the Saints game and that game is so confusing because you couldn't tell anything about the Saints game, about what we were trying or what we're going to be doing. But the first 2.5 quarters were great. It showed you what we're capable of.
Yeah, and for me, the key difference is, and it was interesting just even playing Geelong because when you play Geelong, you just have certain memories of things that we get beaten at, and normally it's physicality around the ball, contest work. And so they put Satterfield and Durham in a lot of sort of in the middle of the guts.
Excellent pronunciation there.
Thank you.
Durham.
And did I say it right?
You did. You said... Oh, no, you said Durham. Sorry.
No, I said Durham.
It's Durham.
Sorry. Oh, Durham. Sorry.
That's right.
but I'll get it right. I'll get it right. I'll work on it. Yeah, so for people who don't know, some of our Patreons respectfully
pointed out
that, yes, Sammy's surname is said differently, so I'm trying to get it right.
We'll get there.
So Sammy, I was going to say Sammy.
Sammy, yeah, that's a bad idea.
But we looked more physical and the contest work, and Sammy was really ferocious. Satterfield always stands up and tackles and I thought blocked really good paths for Parrish. That was my first instant thought when I was watching the first quarter. I went, oh, we physically look mature against the mature.
Parrish was on fire too.
And that's I mean, almost connected to, and we'll go to Parrish, but connected to Parrish, you suddenly had a good mindset of what Todd Goldstein's going to bring this year, because it was super impressive. And it wasn't just tap work. It was actually his defensive work, his running. It's strange. He doesn't look. He's not moving overly like a 35-year-old.
And that's the thing. I think when they looked at him to bring him over to the club, it's always the question is, has he lost a step? And even, like, as a midfielder, it drops off quickly. But as a ruckman, as you get older, it becomes harder and harder and harder to drag that big body around. He has lost very little to nothing. Seriously, man, he's second efforts. He's on the groundwork. Yeah. He's quick handballs out of packs and stuff. But just, like, they look like they'd been married for 10 years. Seriously, him and Parrish, the amount of times he had clean ball. Now, Parrish was trying hard. He was really working hard at the bottom of packs and to make clearances and that sort of stuff. But you could just tell Goldstein's going to be gold for that man.
Yeah, it was one of the interesting parts where I've seen some match sims where Goldie's just palmed it to Parrish. This time was a little bit different. I noticed, I don't know if anyone noticed, there'll be a few blocks and a few physicals, and Goldstein would tap it into space, and Parrish knew what that space would be, and Parrish would run onto it. So I really liked the connection. Merit went up 3 years, so him and Parrish both went, okay, we're getting close to the series
stuff
now.
Here's the standard, boys, yeah.
Yeah, so they were obviously excellent. And they were the engine. They really were. Him and Goldstein and
But and really well supported, Sammy. Him really well supported, though, those two sort of real prime movers and possession getters by Setterfield and Durham. I mean, like, Setterfield is great in there. I think he's going to just grow better and more and blossom in there again. I think we're going to get good things out of him. But Durham did not look out of place. He looked physical. He looks as fit as a fiddle, that kid. But he didn't look out of place. I think it's probably one of the few times he's played in there, but did not look out of place, and it allowed some big boys to make some positioning and the Parrish and those guys to be able to fly through at bottoms of packs and get it out. So look out for Darcy Parrish this year. He is my Crichton medal favourite.
No, exactly. So, yeah, I was just, the midfield looked balanced. Looked physical. I was wrapped. So,
Sam Darren.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you. Yeah. We've got that on loop now.
I've got that on loop. it was a really good contest, and you could feel the pressure. One thing, an interesting stat that came out of the game was there were 17 inside 50 tackles. We didn't achieve that once or last year. That would have been the highest number of 2023. But the previous Saints game, if you're one of our Patreon members, we went pretty hard on our half forwards.
That's what she said.
On our half forwards, the transition with the Saints was far too easy coming out of half back, and our half forwards had to pressure a heck of a lot more. It was way too easy. And funny enough, I did say, I bet you Scott is number one that tells that to the guys and says, I want a difference.
Yeah.
Now you have 17 inside 50 tackles, a lot more pressure. Geelong found it a bit more harder. A lot of times there was repeat kind of stoppages in their inside 50. They weren't as smooth Geelong to get it out.
No, they had to stop and prop and have a think about stuff. And from a midfield that's that good, that had Dangerfield in it and had Guthrie, and I don't even think he's played, I'm not sure, but had a decent midfield on the field, I was very happy. And we commented it as we were watching it. We commented it a few times that, okay, fine, they got possession. for whatever reason, and they were trying to run out of their back line. And instead of, as was often the case last year, the ability of the opposition to just sort of grab the ball, turn, hit a target at 50, hit another target sort of somewhere else, and then, oh, they're in the middle, and away they go through the middle, and poor Zirk Thatcher had all sorts of troubles. The amount of times they had to stop and prop and sort of turn left and turn right, and they weren't quite sure where to go, that is great pressure for mine. I think there was a lot of repeat efforts for pressure on the ball coming out of halfback, so couldn't be happier with that.
One of the players, a few people were telling me that, you know, Geelong still was scoring in the first half and in the first three quarters still. When you go over the goals, there's actually quite a lot from our mistakes. I didn't find it they were naturally transition easy goals that Geelong got. I mean, I don't want to point him out because he actually had a good game for mine and he's just come back and so he's naturally going to be a bit rusty. So, but Dersma just had a few obviously moments where he probably panic kicked a little bit when he had a bit more time. It resulted in two direct goals over his head, just trying to clear from the 50. I credit him being in that position to help the defenders out. And then I think in even the last quarter, he tried to clear with a handball and falconed goal. Well, it went straight to a Geelong guy. And that was the third goal. He had one of those days. But like that's three goals just from us giving them the ball. So there wasn't many down the line transitions of whole plays where Geelong were a little bit lucky with probably three goals that we gifted them, maybe even more than that if I watched the game, full game again.
And also they didn't have their kicking boots on.
Yeah. Both sides in a weird way.
And look, it was very ugly early.
Yeah.
Shots at goals, hello Mac Welfi, and
it was very strange.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, so what was I going to say? Yeah, so overall, really, really competitive. The Langford in the forward line,
he looks like, I mean, we had Hawkins and what's his left foot? What's his name?
Cameron.
Hawkins and Cameron at one end. Also keep in mind, by the way, sure, they were scoring at the other end with Hawkins and Cameron. They're going to score. I don't care if, so I said to Scott, I don't care if you've got Fletcher and Silvani down there. Hawkins is going to give you some goals, right? Like seriously, unless he has a real dog of a day. Hawkins is a 10.
Yeah, there was one point, I think, where Mackay got taken off and to the bench for a rest and Reedy had to look after him. And straight away, a high ball comes to him and Reedy's trying to get his arms around the guy's chest. And Reedy did everything possible, but
he's a monster of a kid,
he's just
right?
a monster. Yeah, yeah.
So keep that in mind. But, yeah, you're right. Langford at the other end looks like the best forward we've got by a good distance. At the moment. But he looks like the best forward we've got at the distance. He could take even more of a step this year, I swear, because he is on fire. He's not super fast. He doesn't stand on people's heads sort of generally.
Just always is there.
The man knows where to run. He knows where to run and he knows when to run. He's an absolute revelation down there.
Yeah, and his physicality now, you can see he's built up his shoulders and arms a lot.
Yeah.
So he's going to be – I've seen this in the match him as well. He's going to be much better one-on-one. So he's a really hard matchup. So, look, you know, I saw a few people giving Peter Wright some flack. I will just say this, Wright's been a lot of the time in rehab the last month. So he actually hasn't played much simulated footy. So he'll start to pick up pretty quick now.
I have no problems with that.
Yeah, so – but I will say his ruck work replacing Goldstein was elite. Like, it was fantastic. If you go watch that replay again, have a look at how well he was rucking. And he made a, you know, when Goldstein in the first, especially in the first two, three quarters, he made the transition to he was pretty dominant himself. So really, really, I actually didn't mind Wright's game because I think the forward part's going to snap into gear sooner or later.
Yeah. And also, speaking of snapping into gear, Jade Gresham.
Jade Gresham.
He's going to be handy, man.
He just continually plays well.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, you've been hearing it with a broken voice of me saying every session, he kicks two goals and he has three or four goal assists and he just keeps doing it.
He is a natural forward. Like, he's been around a while. He knows how to play this game and he knows how to be a forward. And I think we've got a whole good season from him. Like, the he gets his hands on the ball so much. Like I like the fact that he's involved in a lot, and he's not, if he's not sort of inside 50 where he knows where they are and he turns and will kick roughly towards the middle of them. He gets his hands on the ball. He's a good sort of a link up player as well. He's very active early for the club, which I'm really enjoying his game at the moment.
From memory, I don't have it in front of me. From memory, it was something like three or four goal assists, seven score involvements. And it just means it just means you're so active. You're just so dangerous, because a lot of things you're doing end up being scores, whether it's yourself or others that you're creating for.
That's one of the ones I lament the fact that we can't get more of those involvements out of Nick Cox. I want him to do more stuff, man. I want him to be involved more and more, get involved more. Or if you're going to play in key position, then fine. I appreciate that. He's got to stick with his guy. You're not really going to get him through many hands and that sort of stuff. But I saw him playing on a wing and I saw him playing up the ground a little bit. I don't know, man. Demand the ball more. Get involved more. I'd love to, like, that same way that Gresham does. He pops up and Gresham's got the ball again. He's got the ball again and he's got the ball again. I just would like to see that through Cox. Another one from the forward line. Now, I've pre-season, when everybody said, just drop him. I backed Harrison Jones to be the centre-half forward because he was the incumbent. And the only reason why you wouldn't pick him is because he's been injured. He would have been playing if he wasn't injured, right? I am still there with him. It's a preseason game. Fine. Okay. I've had that drilled into me by everybody. It's a preseason game. I really want to see that kid, more than either of those two people that I just described, mm-hmm. get his hands on the ball.
Did you think that was one of his better? Like, that's just to me. I think he had 12 touches, like six or seven marks. And it's not groundbreaking, but no. It was like, but I felt him in the play more. Like,
sure. Yeah. Oh no. He definitely did. I felt as though he was there.
Step in the right direction.
Yeah. Absolutely. And again,
I hope he gets confidence from it. That's all I hope for.
Yeah. Sure. And I think maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm impatient that I want to see him kick a couple. Like, I want to see him at centre half forward drift and be in a position to take a grab, to be able to drill one from 35, or be able to drill one from 45, and get those numbers on the board to help his confidence. But you're right. I mean, he's a mobile, energetic type centre-half forward. He burns players off. And the more marks he's taking and the more involvements he's got, because the kid is really talented. And if he can maintain that moving forward and get more involved and maybe kick a few snags, so much the better. So yeah. I'm very happy for him.
Look, we need him. So you just hope that he can take some confidence out of that, just touching the leather a bit more than he has been recently. And like I know I've kind of tried to talk about Jones in training just more out of what I want to see from him. But I have to be honest, and I've been trying to say what I have seen, and it just needs to be more. But I generally want him to succeed.
Agree.
So, you know, so I thought that was a step in the right direction. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't earth-shattering, but it was just a
good step, man.
He at least did a lot of good team things, but also he won the ball a little bit himself. So I'll give that as a bit of a pass mark. Yep. So
now, a player I want you to kick off the commentary on, because the superlatives, Nick Munn.
Yeah, fantastic. Let me just
Can the man do any wrong?
Yeah, honestly. It's not like oh wow, he's moved to halfback, he's genius. He's like that on the wing. So it's,
I know, he's just damn good. I don't know where you put him.
Kicked two goals from halfback. Yeah. So it's
and like drilling passes, putting it down forward line players' throats. Now, if he's genuinely not going to stay at halfback and be like a Hodge quarterback type role, if he's going to float forward, man, and no wonder they want him facing the goals when he's kicking to the ball into righty and that sort of stuff, because his right boot is just pinpoint and he's smoother than silk. He's a tough one, because he's almost,
you just want three of him.
I just want three of the man. Seriously, he's almost in the same breath as Ridley for me, in that every single game you go, yeah, Rid's had his normal just stellar, awesome game.
Martin was effective,
Martin was just had his stellar, awesome game. It's just, I don't want to ever forget the fact that he's that damn good. Mm. And like Rid's, I don't want to forget the fact and not comment on the fact that he just had another good round of possessions, another 9-10 marks and did really well. His game was a good level above most people on that ground, and he's smooth as you like. I can't wait for a full season out of him.
Yep. Look, another one I was going to mention, and not like he was earth-shattering, but just the small things I'm seeing, and I think most people are seeing the same thing, but Zach Reed, he's obviously very young to football with the amount of games he's played, but, boy, you just watch some things he does. The one where he actually almost faked Hawkins, like Hawkins was going to bump him from the side and he
just put the brakes on real quick.
Put the brakes on and Hawkins slipped past him and then he ended up marking it. Just small things like that and you're like, man, you're 205. Yeah. You're pretty sound kick. You're nervous about going too hard too early because of his injuries background, but it's just exciting. It's just exciting to see him on the park. He may be even at this early stage, you maybe go, gee, he may be the pick of the three of the famous three. But it's really exciting to see what he's doing at this, at this level already, and just more games.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mally. But he's gonna scare people. Like between him and Mackay down there, that's two very large dudes. And I saw several times where, I don't know if another defender, maybe they could have got a hand to it, Grant, I'm not sure. But long-ass arms, man, come over the top of packs and just spoil things and that. And if he was a big, lumbering, unco dude at 205, then he'd be a waste down there, man, because as soon as he hit the ground, he'd be in deep trouble. He's ultra-composed, from what I can see. He looks ultra-composed and He just needs to chuck on a few kegs, which is probably hard for him to do. He's probably got the metabolism of a rabbit. But all of the things that the commentators and us and all the other pods have said about him, I think is actually not hyperbole. I think it is he genuinely could be very, very good for us down there.
I remember Mark Harvey saying something like a year or so ago that he's one of the most talented people he's ever seen in his career.
Just time, man. Time on the park. Halfway through the year. Oh man, I hope he's played genuinely every game. Mm. Like with Langers. Langers had injury issues, he was in and out of the side, all that sort of stuff. And now that he's got some continuity and his injury's okay, well, barring his corky, but his injury all sort of last year, he's getting continuity. He's really starting to kick into gear. One that I want a quick comment on, Nick Hind.
Yeah,
what do you reckon?
I mean, he obviously came on very, very late in the game.
Yeah.
Actually, more like it was either just after half time or maybe. But look, he had his 10 or so possessions. He kicked a goal.
Still looks up and about. Still looks quick.
Yeah. He's going to have some Hindy moments. We all know that, where you're going to go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But he does have this weird X factor and a bit of havoc about him that I actually kind of like as a crafty forward. So I am leaning on him, whether it's sub or in the side for round one, I must admit, because I just feel more things are happening when he's on the park. I just feel energy, speed. It's a bit chaotic and not every kick's going to go, but something, he just makes things happen. He brings a certain energy and I like it. So, I'm all for him around round one.
Beautiful. And then just sort of Benny Mackay. You can see from – I spend a lot of time looking at the – very expensive unit that we paid for. You watch him and you can see the reasons why, right? You can see the reasons why we got him. Big kid, big physicality, knows what he's doing down there and stood next to the monsters of the world will be fabulous. Reedy's down there as well to help the man. We've got sort of a good back six down there at the moment. Mm. More than happy with Mackay and where he's going to go this season. You can absolutely see the benefit he's going to bring to that back line.
Yeah, exactly. It was he was able to control Hawkins when he was playing on him pretty comfortably, and yeah, it was. You know, I don't think he's overly been stretched yet.
No,
because we actually brought a bit of pressure. It actually made his game, surprise, surprise, a lot easier.
Yeah, isn't that hilarious? It says BZT. Yep.
One I do want to mention, and he introduced our show. I'll say for the first three quarters.
Let's not talk about the last one.
I thought McGrath actually was excellent.
Yeah.
When, you know, in the heat, sort of more the heat of the battle stuff.
Yeah.
I thought he was really impressive. I thought he was pretty safe with his kicking for the first two or three quarters, running the lines really well, defensively really sound.
Yep.
It was one of the more better kind of encouraging stuff from Andy. And I thought, yeah. I actually thought, to be honest, our 26, 27-year-old groups, the Parish, Merritt, Langers, you know, Langers, yeah. You know, that kind of mix was actually quite solid.
And that's perfectly okay to look at those guys and go, you are the guys that we need, because we've got the older boys, but now we've got the Langers, like you said, and those guys coming through. They're the ones that should be dragging us sort of up the ladder a little bit. And then you add Mackay coming through and you add Reedy and Cox and all those young kids coming through. So, yeah, no, I'm perfectly cool with that.
Just one last thing before the break. I mentioned this on our Facebook site as well, but I know there's a little bit of disappointment around that last sort of 35 minutes.
I'm one of them.
So, look, my personal view, and me and Grant differ on this, but that's fine. That's what our show does. So, look, I wasn't too concerned. I don't think you want to drop off that much, but I wasn't too concerned because I just generally feel like when you're kind of up to the game, led up to a game, and Scott Wood during the week works to a certain system, and that system has Parrish in the middle and Merritt in the middle and Goldstein and really at halfback and Redmond next to him and Langford and Wright at full forward, and you remove pretty much all of them at, you know, close to three-quarter time out of your team. I personally, this early in the season when you're rusty anyway, I'm not surprised your whole structure breaks down that poorly like it did. But that's just personally me. I just find any team would have, if you did that to Geelong, I don't think Geelong play.
Were the players replaced? They were replaced with Essendon football players, right? The same people that were drilled in the same system. What I saw wasn't a lack of talent. What I saw was not all Australian elite class footballers in Merritt and then almost Parrish and those kind of guys coming off the field, and the guys being replacing them were first year noobs who didn't know what they were doing. Unfortunately for that quarter, the thing that got me so worried about it was I started to see the exact things I saw last year. Right, the exact things. The lack of effort, the lack of, they were just running through the middle. We stopped. Again, right? And that's the part that really worries me. If it was just that Reedy and Mackay went off and then that left a smaller person playing on Hawkins and he kicked three or four more, then that's fine. I understand. Like, smaller bloke, you need Mackay on that dude. But what I saw, just brought me back to the second half of last year, right? And that worried me that they're still capable of doing it, even with best 24.
That's major talent. But
it wasn't talent, man. It wasn't talent that.
Of course, it is. Like it's all Australians, level players.
But
leaving your side.
Sure, but it's about players, the opposition being able to run through the middle. That has nothing to do with Parrish's elite status.
I know, but for me, it's like if you haven't played that role the whole game, then suddenly you just say, "Okay, we're moving everyone out." Now you're just moving to forward line. I know you haven't played there, but just go to the forward line because we're taking out Wright, we're taking out Langers, so we'll. Scott closed down the game. Like Scott just went. I'm thinking of round one.
You know what? I know he's a listener, but if Brad, you want to give us a call, mate, and say that's what we did. Yeah, absolutely. We put the cue in the rack for a reason. The reason was it was a practice match, and we got some guns who had niggles.
I got what I wanted out of it.
I knew what I want. Fine. If I got what I wanted out of it, and we got enough vision, and we got enough to work with throughout the week, then we put the cue in the rack for the big stuff. I shut the hell up because you did it deliberately, right? But the drop off was really quick. Now, maybe in all good honesty and to be positive, maybe I changed my mind on that and go, it's probably what he did, right? It's probably what Brad Scott did. He went, we're done, right? Those three quarters, I liked it. I liked it a lot. We're done. Let's just play the game out and it's not going to end up in anybody's W column, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll do that. I just, if it was we got overrun or whatever the hell it was, I just saw last year and it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, look, I get that.
But for one quarter. Yeah, so it's only one quarter, right? But I
it was just that, yeah, I understand some fans and yourself. It was an odd, it was like a you're up so much for the first two and a half, and three
let's
quarters.
Let's do it, boys. Let's close it out, boy. What is this
but,
now?
But Scott, maybe Scott sees it. I don't want to think that I'm saying for Scott. I'm just saying this may be what he was thinking.
Sure.
Maybe he just sees it as a bigger picture and just goes, this is still a practice match.
I'll take that.
And
I'll
he's
take it.
Just seen Ridley go down and going, all right, sorry, guys, I've seen enough. We've shut up shop.
I'm not, especially the guys that the key positions.
You are off.
Out. Yeah, get out, right? Exactly right, because we're playing
and
Hawthorn.
And it has to kind of send a weird way to message psychologically to the rest of the team because he's going, well, the coach has just shut up.
Like he's shop. And yeah, so let's not pull a hammy trying to chase down danger or something like that. Okay. So I guess, look, man, it's before we go to the break, it was just, also too.
We're passionate fans.
I just want to see him win, man.
Is it Geelong? Yeah, it would be nice if we just beat
exactly Geelong. Right. But even if you just go into the season with a win, and I guess it's you overlay that with the standard bloody long term support that we have for the club. I just want to see him win every bloody game. But when you lose the last two rounds by bulk points, and then you lose by 10 goals to St Kilda, you go. What's changed exactly? That Ben's a pracky, so overlay that, Grantos. You have to do that. But I'm okay. Three quarters, I'll take that
I was generally happy with most of the game in Geelong. I was pretty okay, but now the real stuff starts. So, right, and cool. That's what we want to talk about.
So
after the break.
Yeah, we'll go to the break. We'll come back and we'll have a chat about round one v. the Dirty Dogs. Sleep at night. I think I let them shoot me so that I can die. What's at the end? What's at the end? What's at the end of the Santa Chamber? What's at the end? What's at the end? What's at the end of Santa Chamber? And welcome back to the Lunchtime Catch-Up Podcast. Now then, round one, Hawthorn, MCG.
Yeah, it's everyone knows my... You've got Collingwood?
Collingwood,
I've got
mate.
Hawthorn.
It's Hawthorn for you.
Yeah, so I'm a child of... Well, we're both a child of the 80s.
Yeah, exactly right.
But you've got nothing but Collingwood
friends. Hawthorn's sitting right behind Collingwood, believe me.
Round one always makes me nervous because I always think it's the round that has probably the most upsets because some teams are just weird. Like how many times have I seen Sydney play round one, you know, and just lose badly?
Yeah.
And you're like, so we actually last year we started off really well. So obviously we beat Hawkspot by 70 odd, something like last year. We play them again, round one.
Doesn't that just pump your tyres up when you win by 70-odd? Thanks for coming.
Hawks obviously coming off a pretty, you know, okay to poor preseason. They got a lot of injuries. The Dogs beat them by, 50, 60 points on. You just, come on, guys. Let's get this one going. This should be a victory, I'll be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be. Hawthorn are good old-fashioned no good at the moment, right? They're no good. They've got some players. My boss at work, shout out Rahan. He said they're missing a key defender or something as well. I didn't
care. Quite a number of defenders. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't care, but
it was an exciting conversation at work.
Yeah, I was. I'm missing a defender. Anyway, so they're missing key players. Not that any of us care, but this is one where you should put it in the W column. If we play. Three quarters against Geelong, we pump the talks.
Yeah, so it's outside of Ridley. And look, just on the side, it was a bit of a sigh of relief when Ridley said on the club website that he was 3 to 4 weeks only, and he thinks he's trying to get round two. My gut feeling says round three. He did say at least that the injury was in a slightly different area, so it wasn't like a repeat exactly of the same. So I think most of us were actually more thinking round eight, round nine.
Yeah, like
10-week injury.
Five, six, eight or something.
So look, if he came back round three, it would be the most excited fan in the history.
Big
so
time.
So really good news. It's
and Langer's is fine.
Yeah, Langer's trained fully today. So I mean, Dylan Shield trained fully today. Wright trained fully. Sammy trained fully. You know, so Caddy trained fully. Now, he'll play VFL.
Does that give us everybody? Like access, like available for selection? Maybe they do, maybe so they what, don't. But
must be just Ridley, Hunter and Wanganeen, maybe? Yeah, so that's that kind of thing.
Fine, yeah. But of the big names.
He's got mostly most players. I'll say she'll know because he's probably still a week behind. And he's, he trained fully, but just he's only just come back. That's so Draper is 50-50, you sense.
Okay, fine.
I'll be interested to see the VFL play Friday 5 p.m. I think it's even at the Hangar. There's a VFL practice match.
Sure.
Sometimes clubs can get permission from the AFL to play certain senior players. I would not be surprised. And this is if, you know, the likes of Draper may play a half.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they even get some games into, you know, see if Caddy can play.
Yeah.
Just to try and get guys back up to speed. Shealy for two or three quarters.
Legs, yeah. A bit of movement in the legs.
So, yeah. So I wouldn't be, you know, so if anyone is interested, that's when the VFL is. So, yeah. So it's Hawks should, we should win. It should be a pretty strongly named side. Now, my good friend Bruce, who watches training.
Shout out to Bruce.
Shout out to all the guys who watch training, Rick and all the guys.
And then give us all the info. Love it.
Yeah, so Charlie, we all know Charlie. He's great. So they tell me that Coxie was on the main team and doing the Ridley role. So I don't want to say that means he will play round one Ridley role, but you have to think somewhat serious that if Scott's
good science
training him in the black top, if you ever go to training, the black top usually means the senior squad, the red top means the junior or the VFL, sorry, not junior, VFL squad. So Laverto was in red and Cox was in black playing alongside Mackay and Reed and all that. So
if he's ever going to be something, then we've got to give him the opportunity. I mean,
yeah, it's the opportunity to show what he can do. So if that happens, then, you know, go for it. That's just an interesting bit of information I thought you may want to know.
Yep.
It's I think we're pretty much now right to go and
finishing touches on some of the boys, just getting it sort of last minute right. They'll be picking the team, and hopefully it's a beautiful sunny day. Hate playing them, but it's a big game at the G.
Saturday afternoon at the G is just
mate. V Hawthorne, G, in the sun. Oh, baby.
I wanted my wedding to be 2 o'clock
Saturday at the G. It'll be nice. We, for the first time in a good period of time in our lives, we will not be there for round one. We will be OS, but we will be watching it, I can assure you, with a cold, refreshing beverage in our hands.
The main show will still be out that following. We booked thinking that the year started the week after, unfortunately. Yeah. So we got their dates wrong when we booked last year, but that's all right. The draw killed us. But we will be back literally 1 or 2 days after the Hawks game. So
yeah, absolutely.
We're still going to do a midweek a main show. So sort of we'll business do a midweek as usual. Main show.
Yeah, absolutely. Business as usual for our Patreons. No change there as well. We'll be doing our OS outside broadcast review of the Hawkers. I think that'll be it for tonight's show, Scotty.
Yep, it's we're off on a plane soon. So
we're off on a plane, mate. We're going to be just enjoying the finest beverages that money can buy at 30,000 feet. So thanks everybody for joining us, especially over this preseason. We love the preseason. We love all the rookies. We love all that period of time. And from the feedback that we get and the new amount of Patreons that we get, we know you guys love the content around that period of time as well. So we love bringing it to you. But is there anything better than round one of the real stuff, right? So,
and if they want to go to Patreon, where can they go? Because Patreon will start our regular sort of
Thursday.
Not this week because there's no game on this week. But so the following week we'll start as normal with our two shows.
It's two shows, man. It's Thursday night team selection show for our new listeners. Thursday night team selection shows where we talk about the team that's been selected and what we think they can expect against the team they're playing. And then the Sunday night post-game reaction show is our most popular show by the length of the straight. Straight after the game, most likely, unless Scotty and I are at the game, straight after the game, we come straight up into this studio and do our post-game reaction show, emotion and all. So that's where that's by the length of straight our math popular show for our Patreons. So you get that plus any sort of special guests we get exclusive for our Patreons as well. So patreon.com/lunchtime catch up. Check out that. It's $5 a month. And when the main season kicks in, that's 8 shows extra a month for $5. So go and check it out for their Patreon. We love our community. Patreon also too on the Patreons is the Discord page. Huge, massive community. You just, when you become a Patreon member, if we haven't got the post up with the link to Discord.
Just message us
and say, hey, what's a Discord? We'll pop that back up. There's like 350-odd, 400 people in there now.
Just under 400.
Nice work. Over. Nice. So we're in there talking about anything and everything. If you want to bang on more than Scotty
Training,
and I do.
VFL, AFL, AFLW, there's all threads. There's all different tracks. And man, it is active and the best people. I absolutely love the Discord friends I've been able to have.
Yeah, we've had some drinks with them and all. It's been great. So if you want to bang on about footy more than Scotty and I do, check out the Discord page as well. So thanks, everybody, for listening to us. We will talk to you guys very soon again with our review of the Hawkers game. But till then, go Bombers.
Go Bombers.